Track 13, Chapter 3.
It was a dull, foggy November day when we drove through Sussex and finally reached the isolated and ancient farmhouse in which Ferguson lived. It was a large, irregular building, very old in the centre, very new at the wings with Tudor chimneys. An odour of age and decay pervaded the whole building. Ferguson took us to a very large central room. There was an old-fashioned fireplace with an iron screen behind, dated 1670. On the walls, there was hung a fine collection of South American utensils and weapons that Mrs. Ferguson brought from Peru. Holmes examined them with curiosity and some care. "Hello," he cried. "Hello!" A spaniel had lain in a basket in the corner. It came slowly towards Mr. Ferguson, walking with difficulty. Its legs moved irregularly, and its tail was on the ground. It licked Ferguson's hand. "What's the matter with your dog?" asked Holmes.
"A sort of paralysis, but it is passing. He'll be all right soon. It came on suddenly, in a single night, 4 months ago."
"Very remarkable. Very suggestive," said Holmes.
"Why, what do you see in it, Mr. Holmes?" asked Mr. Ferguson.
"A confirmation of my idea," Holmes replied.
"For God's sake, what do you think, Mr. Holmes?" shouted Mr. Ferguson. "It may be an intellectual puzzle to you, but it is life and death to me. My wife a murderer, my child in constant danger. Don't play with me, Mr. Holmes. It is too terribly serious."
Mr. Ferguson was trembling all over. Holmes put his hand upon his arm. "Unfortunately, Mr. Ferguson, there is pain for you in the solution," said Holmes. "I cannot say more for the instant, but before I leave this house, the case will be solved." Mr. Ferguson left the room for a short time and came back with a tall, slim, brown-faced girl.
"The tea is ready, sir,"
said Dolores.
"Thank you," replied Mr. Ferguson. "Now, please go and see that your mistress has everything she can wish."
"She's very ill," cried the girl,
looking with indignant eyes at her master. "She did not ask for food. She's very ill. She needs a doctor."
Ferguson looked at me with a question in his eyes. "Would your mistress see Dr. Watson?"
"Yes, please," she answered.
I followed the pretty young lady upstairs and down an ancient corridor. She stopped in front of a door, took a key out of her pocket, and opened the door. Mrs. Ferguson was lying on the bed, half conscious. As I entered, she looked at me in apprehension, and I asked, "Can I help you in any way?"
"No, no one can help. It is finished. All is destroyed," she answered.
"Madam," I said, "your husband loves you very much."
Again she looked at me and replied, "And what about me? Don't I love him? I adore him. I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to break his heart. I cannot say anything. Don't ask me about the assaults."
She was resolute. "Will you not see him?" I suggested.
"No. No, I will not see him. Go now. Tell him only one thing. I want my child. I have a right to my child."
She turned her face to the wall and kept quiet.